Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am grateful to be with you on this July 10th day, 2021. We're going to be looking at missing. I often use the term when I'm in public or I'm talking to people about the spiritual practice, an authentic one, about how easy it is to miss. And evidently this raises some curiosity and such with people. And I look back at some of my emails based on one that I was reading about missing. And I thought, wow, I haven't even remotely touched that subject. Well, come to find out, as I went back and back and back, there they are. There's all these little emails with this missing thing that I talk about and people not understanding what I am referring to. So here we go. We're going to go into the miss, and I hope that I'm able to help you. We do miss the obvious. There's no doubt about that. There will be certain things that just go beyond my perceptions. And if I'm in Gregory and I'm doing Gregory all the time, I'm going to miss a lot of things. I'm going to miss the substance and the meaning, the significance of what it is to have a meaningful life. And that meaningful life is not dependent upon what, let's say, Gregory here thinks is a meaningful life. It's about awakening. It is about going beyond the Gregory. And that's what an authentic practice is. People try to adapt and adopt philosophies about spiritual practices that really are not incumbent of what a practice is all about. You need to understand this very deeply inside yourself. There are many things to miss. There are many things to misunderstand. Gregory, as a man, can only understand so much based on his mental acuity. And then, if I am like most people, I'll just leave it there. I won't go any further with it. I won't try to expand it further. And that doesn't mean intellectually. It means I must explore beyond my thinking, beyond my mind, beyond my emotions. I want to experience what is in inner space, which looks like outer space to old Greg. So I look at these things inside myself. I search them out. I hid them for many years in my professional life. I didn't want to talk about it with people because I wasn't ready. And when I finally became ready and I saw exactly what I was doing and what the nature of my life was really all about, that's when I decided I was going to take my private practice into public life. And that's exactly what I did. So we're going to take a few of these questions here this morning, and I hope they're helpful to you. Maybe explain a little bit more about the bigger picture of our life. Here's the first one. This one comes from Ralph. He does not tell me where he lives. You often talk about missing, and then he goes into some examples. What do you mean by we miss? You know, when I was younger and I was sitting in the ashram and the master would say to us, you missed, or that I was in a darshan and I would watch students come to him and he would say, you missed. They would ask a question that was totally misrepresentative of his work or what he was trying to offer. It became evident to me, really evident to me, that I was missing. And so what does that mean? I will tell you, Ralph. It means that I tried to understand and conjugate the teachings, as it were, and bring them down to my pedestrian mentality, the way I think, the way I wanted to think, the way I wanted to believe. people will hear a teaching. And I have said this and asked this of Christians who have come to me in my work, and I would say we'd be talking about Jesus and maybe some of his great teachings, and I would say, do you understand the Beatitudes, which I consider to be the greatest teachings that the world has ever heard? And if they would look at me and kind of tilt their head and go, no, none of us understood it. This one student that I have who was a Christian, he did it so well. He did it so beautifully. He said, no, everybody was afraid to admit that they didn't know. And like the king with no clothes, nobody wants to admit. So there are misses. And to miss the Beatitudes and not understand them, not be able to recognize what they're talking about, what they're teaching, what they're offering, this would be a terrible thing to do to oneself. But we do it all the time. We don't even think about, you know, the idea of what does blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are the meek, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. What does all that mean? And most people don't know, and most people really, really just don't care. They don't see how it relates to wanting to be rich and wanting to do whatever they want and wanting to have what they want and wanting people to be the way they want them to be, which is mainly the way people live. And this goes on and on and on and on. Nobody understands. There is a level of living that goes beyond the peripheral of what we live with in our biological state. We live as the totality of biology, and that's about all we do. We don't go any deeper, we don't go any further, and we would give up the priceless moment of awakening for a birthday party, a Christmas gathering, a reunion of some kind. We would do, I mean, a whole slew of things we would do for all of that. And we wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter to us because pursuing the pleasures of the body and gratifying the emotions and the body are more important than anything to us in this world. Really, they are. You have to admit that you're not interested in awakening. You're not interested in real love, authentic love. You don't even know it exists. And so when you look at your life and you see the way things are in your living, you have to look at it and think to yourself, well, what is important to me? What is relevant to me? But what is relevant to you? Well, it's only what your body can provide for you. And our whole mental acuity revolves around what our bodies can give us and how they give to us and the whole spiel. It's all there. So when you start looking at your life and missing, what do I mean? To miss love. Real love, not love for another person. That's not the love I'm talking about. That can come and go in our biology. No, to really, really, really love, to find the love that is our life, and to ignore everything that is trying to get us to that place where we can understand that love is a very, very, very sad thing that we do. Very, very sad. But we do it. We don't care. We don't think about it in any other way than the way we want to think about it, which is there's nothing more important than what my skin can touch and what my mind can think. Inner work, spiritual work, is not about thinking. It is not about adopting a philosophy. It is not about any of that. And though most people will live in that version of themselves, it won't change anything that is meaningful about yourself. So there's a lot missing in our life, a whole heck of a lot. And it doesn't really matter what the meaning of our life is. What matters is what is most important to the, shall we say, substance of our living. how to bring us into the meaning and the significance of love. If my life is not devoted to love, if my life has nothing to do with the devotion to love itself, what good is my living? It is all about love. This whole thing, every day of my life, I have to look at what I'm doing. If I have a counselee, someone I'm working with, I have to ask myself, am I willing to give my total effort to that person? Hence, my total life. Am I willing to be total in what I can give them and every inch of it? Every inch of my living, every inch of my life. And if I don't do that with a student, or if I don't do that with what I'm doing here, even with you right now, I am not, well, I am missing. And I don't miss because I put my totality into everything. And to tell you the truth, that is the way, the truth, and the light in all of us. So, Ralph, what I am saying is we are missing the obvious for the most part, and we just don't get it. And for the most part, we don't want to get it. And for the greater part of our life, it's a total miss. We're worried about making babies. We're worried about money. We're worried about having fun. We're worrying about our place in society and our... We miss everything. So there you are. That is the miss. And most of us, in the way we live, reduce our ability to reconcile and recognize the meaning of our existence. We just don't have it. So I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I was just thinking he probably missed my miss. All right, the next one comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. Why do you, and this is interesting, teach people who constantly miss? Seems to me like, he says here, a waste of your time. If you looked at my work and the people that I serve, and you thought to yourself, well, these are the people that are my students, and I have to get it across to them, that would be a miss on my part. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I hope this helps you understand where I come from. I am not here to drill people into philosophy. You don't study this work. You might study metaphysics. You might study religion or philosophy, but you don't study spiritual awakening. You can't. It has nothing to do with the mind. It's all about building your life in simplicity, learning what to do with being solitude and being alone with all of that. And then, of course, the whole beauty of it all, silence. Because silence is the answer to everything. So that is my effort. I'm like Johnny Appleseed, and that's the way I look at myself. I plant seeds in people. Some fall on a very rocky areas, some fall on deserty areas, but a few seeds every so often in a person will fall on fertile ground. Now, what will happen with that fertile ground? I do not know. Sometimes it manifests in this world, and sometimes in this lifetime, and then in other times it manifests later on in another lifetime. Whatever it is, whatever lifetime it manifests in, that is the blessing. So even with you asking this question, even with you, John, taking the time to listen to me here on the radio, even with all of that being said, somebody planted that seed in you years ago, lifetimes ago, many lifetimes ago. Something of the other shore was suggested to you. And some part of you heard that suggestion, and you started to go into it more and more. It started to eat away at your pedestrian mentality over and over, until one day, in one lifetime or another, you started to consider maybe, just maybe, there's more to life than what the body can offer you. You started to look at your life from a different premise. Maybe. Maybe. Now, it may take another 1,000 or 2 lifetimes. Who knows? I don't know. I just throw out a number. For you to really take this thing and work with it. Allow it to coagulate, as it were, in you. Allow it to ingest love into your life. Maybe even suggest that there is a way to live your life in a different way, whatever form you're in whatever lifetime you find yourself. So nothing is a waste. I don't see it that way. There are some people who are resistant. There are some people who are just contrary. And for those people, I don't spend a lot of time with them. I really don't. I answer their question and I leave. And that's about it. And I don't bother to go into anything too deep because they're just contrary and they want to make trouble for themselves and try to make trouble for me. Nothing I am teaching here can be about logic and reasoning, and it doesn't coincide much with the chemistry of our bodies, which are changing over and over and over again every day of our life. As we grow older, we get weirder. We start morphing into versions of our mother and fathers, and that's the way it is, and that's because we live by the body. It's going to do what it's going to do. It isn't going to stop. It's on a cycle, and that's what it does. That is the natural order of the human body. But there is something beyond that human body. There is something beyond our traits, our genetics, our DNA. It lives in the midst of our being. It is obvious, but not to our physical eyes and not to my logic and reasoning, not to the parts of me that is loyal to my body and the favors that I think my body deserves, like a little cup of ice cream or whatever, things like that. Those are the things that our bodies want. And then our emotions grab a hold of, because the body is nothing but the treasure trove of all of our emotions. And I use that tongue in cheek. And then the next thing you know, we're doing things, saying things that are not healthy, not happy, not in the way. You know, to practice inner work, to really practice it, you have to be on it all the time. You there isn't like, okay, I did my practice, now I can go back and being Greg. Being a jerk. They're just, that isn't the way it works. That isn't the way it is. So it is very difficult for people to understand the nature of themselves without getting into an argument. And I find this to be very prevalent with students. Familiarity breeds contempt. What, you know, people often ask me, was your master, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, was he a perfect man? And no, not at all. He was anything but perfect. He had his peculiarities, just like I do and anyone else does. But pushed aside, which he did all the time, there was something emitting from him. There was something inside of him that was beyond all of that. So there you are. It was a beautiful thing. Was he perfect? No. Was Jesus perfect? No. Was the Buddha perfect? No. It isn't about perfection. It's about obtaining, recognizing, attaining to the obvious. And the obvious is love. The human is always going to be the human. But to miss my life, or to miss the meaning of my life because I'm adopting the human or I'm living as the human is really a ridiculous thing for me to do. And I highly recommend that you don't waste your life on that kind of thing. So there you are, John. I hope that helped you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question is from Abel. And he asks a very interesting question that most people would never ask. He said, can we gain what we've missed in this world, in this lifetime as you speak of? Can we gain it back? Yes, you can. Yeah. But it depends on who you are. Now, I don't know who you are, Abel. I don't. But can we be regained? Yes. Yes. It takes one moment where you see the precociousness of your ego and you no longer want to serve the ego. That's what it is. Serve the emperor of all malice, that human heart of ours. Once you have realized what that's all about and the significance of what that's all about, that's when something of the other shore can reach you. And something beautiful, yes, can happen. You can be regained. Absolutely true. You can be. It will take effort. It will take practice. You must do the difficult before it becomes impossible. You must realize that your hair's on fire and you're laughing and thinking that it's not. You have to see the urgency of the moment, the urgency of the practice, the urgency of love. You have to see it for what it is. Now, if you don't see that urgency, if you don't see that light inside you, if you don't see how important it is, no matter what I say to you or what anybody else says to you, you're not going to find meaning. You're not going to find significance. You're going to miss. So all I can say to you is this. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. You have to be willing to know a truth that is beyond the grips of fantasy, of ego, of pride, of vanity. You have to want to go beyond the norm, the pedestrian mentality that we are all consumed by when we live out of the human mind and the human body. Now, if you're willing to do that, which I hope you are, and if you're willing to have that way, that truth, that light in you, which I hope you are, then you will find significance in everything that you do. It is in those little moments of significance that we are regained. The little kindness, the little gratitudes, the feelings of being touched and moved by something that your ego would just consider to be useless and unnecessary or trivial. Start looking at the things that your mind wants to trivialize. And let me give you a little exercise. I give it to my students. Just when you wake up or when you have a difficult time, sit with yourself quietly in a chair and just sit in the midst of your poop. All the things that are going on in your head, just sit with it. And instead of looking at all of the crap that's going on, just sit and recognize I am here. That there is something more delicate, more powerful, more loving in you. You may not see it. You may not be able to analyze it. You may not believe in it. But just sit there with it. Just sit there. I am here. I am here. Don't make that an affirmation. Make it a confirmation. If you do, eventually you will find yourself finding that you no longer miss and you're not any of the things that you're troubled about. It's a wonderful little exercise. I'm out of here. Thank you, Abel, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. back on the air tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.